ভগবতে ব্যাসিদেবায় মেঘা করিহিরয়া ভাষা নানাভি দূরা গান ফসল স্বচ্ছেদ আবজতে রূপিয়া গোপালা মনোজয়া লোক গম্ভীরয়া ভাষা নামাভিধুরগান ফসু বৎসির আব্যয়তে প্রীত্যা ভোগ ফালা মনে জয়া
Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan become so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends and Baladev, would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing while his friends sang about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making his cowherd boy friends laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, by His disciples. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Lord Krishna would joke with his friends, saying, "Just look, this peacock does not know how to dance properly." Whereupon the Lord would vigorously imitate the peacock's dancing, causing great laughter among his friends. The bees in Vrindavan would drink the sap of the forest flowers, and the combination of this nectar and the association of Sri Krishna made them mad with intoxication. Thus they closed their eyes in ecstasy and expressed their satisfaction by humming. And this humming was also expertly imitated by the Lord. Chakora Kronsha Chakrava Bharadvajam Chabarhinaha Anaroti Smasatvanam Vithavadya Grasimhayo. Sometimes he would cry out in imitation of birds, such as the chakoras, kronchas, chakravas, and varanajas, and peacocks. And sometimes he would run away with the smaller animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. Report. The word vithabat, as if afraid, indicates that Lord Krishna played just like an ordinary boy and ran with the smaller forest creatures in mock fear of the lions and tigers. Actually, in Vrindavan, the abode of the Lord, the lions and tigers are not violent, and thus there is no reason to fear them. Om Adyanita Vidandasya Yanandana Chalakaya Chakshuri Nidhanja Tasmai Sri Gurudeva. Sometimes he would cry out in imitation of birds, such as the chakoras, kronchas, chukaras, maravajas, and peacocks. And sometimes he would run away with the smaller animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. Hare Krishna. It is my great fortune
attempt to serve all of you in the fully abundant Sri Vrindavan. We are reading from the 15th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter begins with Krishna coming into his Purganda age, from the age 5 until 10. At this time, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas give Lord Shri Krishna and Balaramji the service of taking care of the full-grown cows. Previous to this, they were herding the calves of Vrindavan. On the 8th day of the bright moon of the month of Kartik, we celebrate Gopastami, a celebration where Krishna is ceremonially giving charge of the cows. Yasoda Mai offered him shoes to wear on this day, but Krishna, out of love for his devotees, he said, unless you make shoes for all the 900 cows of Nanda Maharaj, I cannot have something that they do not have. And besides that, the land of Vrindavan is very, very soft, and the kadamba trees are always creating nice shade to keep the soil very cool. So thus Krishna and Balaram entered the forests of Vrindavan with the cows, blessing the land with their beautiful, merciful lotus feet. And actually, he did this in reciprocation to the prayer of Mother Earth, who wanted to always have the lotus feet of the Lord upon her. Vrindavan is the land of loving reciprocation, where everything is personal. Every element of Vrindavan is saturated in pure ecstatic love. And Krishna reciprocates with everyone to their fullest heart's content. To every particle of dust, he blesses with his lotus feet. In fact, those footprints of Lord Sri Krishna are so sacred to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that even the animals, like the cows and those in the forest, made an agreement that no one will ever step on the footprints of Krishna or Balaram, because they are truly the ornament, the decoration of Sri Vrindavan Dham. We have read that the bees, tasting the nectar of the flowers of Vrindavan, each flower is personally creating the most unusual nectar, so that Krishna, Balaram and his friends can smell that nectar and be happy. When the bees drink that nectar, and when they see the beauty of Krishna, they become madly intoxicated, and they close their eyes in ecstasy and buzz in a very deep expression of love. This buzzing is the constant music of Vrindavan, and Krishna Balaram, they imitate the buzzing of the bees. Again, loving reciprocation, acknowledging their kirtan, the Lord responds to them. And when the parrots make their chirping sounds, Lord Sri Krishna, he also chirps just like the parrots, not only to give great joy to his friends, to show transcendental acknowledgement of the loving service in the form of the kirtan of the parrots. And when the cuckoos would sing, Krishna, in a sweet, melodious voice, would imitate the cuckoos and the purr of the swans. each and every leaf and branch from the creepers and trees of Vrindavan are creating very fragrant, soft, tender flowers, so that Krishna Balaram will be very happy when they see them while herding the cows. In reciprocation, Krishna and Balaram pick those flowers with their lotus hands, and by feeling the touch of Shamsundar's hands, each of the creepers and trees tremble in ecstatic love. Similarly, there are the mountains and the bushes, the sky. When Krishna glances upon them, they personally experience that glance as the reciprocation of his love, and they tremble in ecstasy. So bhakti, or loving reciprocation, is the very essence of spiritual life. And this is most fully expressed in the holy land of Vrindavan. We are reading in today's verse how Krishna, just to make all of the residents of Vrindavan happy, would do everything and anything. To his boyfriends, he would see a peacock dancing, and he would say, "This peacock does not know how to dance properly." Then he would dance, imitating peacock. Not only were the peacocks in ecstasy, but the boys would laugh really loudly in reciprocation. And sometimes the lions and the tigers would roar. Actually, the roaring is simply their kirtan, glorifying the holy names of Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna, as if fearful, would run away from that sound. This is a great wonder, how Krishna appears to be fearful, like an ordinary child. We have read previously in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yashoda Mai saw that Sri Krishna Gopal had stolen the butter, she approached him with a stick, and he trembled and ran away in fear. Ultimately, he allowed her to catch him. And when he was apprehended, trembling in fear, tears flowing from his eyes, causing his mascara, his black cudgel, to decorate his entire body, he began to confess, pleading for mercy. Mataji, I did it. I stole the butter. Please don't punish me. Just like if you go to the court, if you plead guilty, then the judge may give you some leniency and punishment. But if you deny it and you're found guilty, he'll give you maximum punishment. So Krishna in fear pleaded guilty to the crime. Kunti Devi, she was remembering this, that Krishna is feared by fear personified, and yet he's afraid of Mother Yashoda. And similarly, he is often afraid of the lions and tigers of Braja. Actually, there's nothing to fear, because in Vrindavan, there is no such thing as violence amongst the devotees. The lions and the tigers are gentle, loving servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord. This was expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was traveling through Jarikanda forest, there were actually really terrible, dangerous lions and tigers there. He saw a tiger lying on the path. He placed his lotus foot on the head of the tiger. His servant, Malabhadra Bhattacharya, was very much alarmed by this action. The tiger was sleeping. What do they say? Let a sleeping tiger sleep? Mahaprabhu put his head on his foot on the head of the tiger, kicked him,
and said, "Wake up, chant,
Hari Hari." The tiger leaped up in the air, chanting, "Hari Hari, Hari Hari." Tears flowing from his eyes, his limbs trembled, all of his hair standing on end in ecstasy. As he was walking further on the path, very gentle, beautiful deer began to follow him, responding to his chanting of the holy names. And alongside the deer, a whole group of tigers were following along with him. Now, for those of you who know the survival of the fittest condition of the jungle, the tiger and the deers are the worst enemies, because the tiger's favorite food is to eat deer. Therefore, they only see the deer in terms of drinking their blood and eating their flesh. Therefore, the deer is always running away from the tiger. Prabhupada tells a story how Krishna creates a situation where everyone has to suffer and struggle in this world. Do you remember that lecture? Prabhupada said that there's a certain bird, little tiny bird, and that bird follows the tiger around. And he calls out in his little bird language, "The tiger is coming, the tiger is coming." So all the animals run away, so the tiger can never find any animals. And yet this little bird is just a fraction of a particle of his size and strength, but he can't catch him. But on this particular day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing through the forest, the tigers forgot that they were tigers. The deers forgot that they were deers. Their eternal love for Krishna awakened. They were identifying themselves with the eternal spirit souls, servants of the Lord. They were chanting and they were dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned around and cast his glance upon them. The tiger met each deer, and each deer and tiger paired off, began to embrace in love. Then they kissed each other on the lips. Hare Krishna. And they were embracing in pure ecstatic love for Krishna, for each other. Lord Chaitanya smiled, and he remembered Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, because of the presence of Krishna there, all the animals, even the wild, apparently dangerous animals, they were all filled with love. And they all had sweet love and affection for each other. Where Krishna is in the center, it creates harmony, unity, and spiritual affection. But as soon as Krishna is taken out of the center of our relationships, then there is potential envy, materialistic competitiveness, and all sorts of propensity to find faults in others. Factually, because the spirit soul in the conditioned state is envious of Krishna, we are potentially envious of every one of his parts and parcels. Therefore we see sometimes lovers, friends, envy arises between them. It's a materialistic law. It has to happen. It's just a matter of time. Unless our common purpose is to glorify Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, then instead of envy, true love, affection, and a desire to serve awakens between us. This is the spiritual world, where even the tigers and the deers harmonize in love. This is the effect when devotees properly come together in Harinam Sankirtan. Human beings have very animalistic qualities. Srila Prabhupada explaining in regard to the Jayakanda forest, he said, please do not go to the forest and try to preach to the tigers. However, at least you could try to preach to the human beings. And by doing so, we can create actual peace. And this is one of the ways we can actually evaluate how we are properly performing sankirtan. But spiritual affection grows between us. There's no more false ego. No more competition. But actual desire to serve. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. How wonderful it is that Krishna is pretending to be faithful. Govinda Das plays Vajahurana Sanjana Avayacharanadavindare. Anyone who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Srinandanandana becomes fearless. There are so many examples of this. In Lord Govinda's Lila, there was the devotee Gadadhar Das. How fearless he was. He was living in a village on the bank of Ganga. That village was ruled by a Kazi and the Lachu magistrate. This Kazi was so vicious, cruel, and hateful. He hated the Hindus. He would kill them if he found them practicing the religion publicly. He would plunder them, imprison them, beat them, torture them. It is said that if a bees touched him and then touched a Hindu, that Hindu would immediately jump in the Ganges with all his clothes on. If the Kazi just glanced at you, not to speak of just by seeing him, people would think that they have been so contaminated that they would lose their caste. He was the embodiment of violent cruelty. People would run from him in fear. But Gadadhar Das, having taken shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he was so fearless. In the middle of the night, he ran right into the Kazi's house. He began screaming at the top of his lungs, Kazi, you rascal! Chant the names of women or I will cut off your head. The guards were so stunned that they just sat there looking at him. They didn't know what to do. The Kazi woke up. His eyes were red, furious in anger. He came running to kill this crazy person. When he saw Gadadhar Das, who was looking at him with such love and affection, Kazi became peaceful. He said, Gadadhar, what are you doing here so late at night? Gadadhar replied, Kazi! I have come with a message for you. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have descended to deliver pure love of God to all living beings through the chanting of the holy names. If you chant the holy names of Lord Hari, you will be free from all sins. Now the whole world is chanting Hari Hari, everyone except you, Kazi. I have come to tell you, chant Hari Hari now! Kazi was shocked. No one ever told him like this. He said, Gadadhar, it's late at night. Just go home, go to sleep. Tomorrow I will chant this Hari Hari. Gadadhar heard this. Why tomorrow? The names Hari Hari have emanated from your lips. You have chanted Hari Hari tonight. Therefore you are free of all sins. Gadadhar Das began to
dance in ecstasy, leaping and jumping and chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Throughout the Kazi's house, he was dancing and singing. Fearless. Another devotee, Murari Chaitanya, also named Sharanga Thakur, he would go into the forest. He would see a tiger, and he would slap the tiger in the face and tell him to chant Hari Hari. Other times he would see a tiger, and he would pull his tail, grab him, and jump on his back and ride on him. He would see cobras and pythons and pick them up and put them on his lap and preach to them. Sometimes he would just want to be alone, so he would just go under the water of the Ganga for 3 days at a time, chanting the holy names. This is the condition of one who takes shelter of the Lord. He is completely fearless. One who takes shelter of the Lord realizes his eternal constitutional position. Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayanduta bhavita vanabuya ajonitya shashvato yan purano nahanyate hanyamane sarirai. For the soul there is no birth or death. For having once been, does he ever cease to be? He's unborn, ever existing, primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he expressed in his prayer how a devotee is fearless in all situations. Because he has complete faith in the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thakur Bhaktivinoda prayed, My Lord, if you want to protect me, then please protect me. If you want to kill me, then please kill me. I am your servant. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please. This is faith. That we know with great conviction that whatever situation Krishna puts us in, it is a perfect arrangement for our spiritual life. Therefore, what do we have to fear? The only thing a Vaishnava fears is forgetting Krishna. If we remember Krishna in every situation, we attain Krishna. Especially at the time of death. Just a few days ago, we took devotees to Mayapur for a yatra of the Gauramandala Bhumi. About 950 devotees went by trains. There was one man, about 65 years old or so. He was so excited he was going to go to Mayapur. So excited. He was preaching to all these different passengers on the train about the glories of Krishna consciousness, the glories of Mayapur Dham. He was preaching and preaching and preaching. So much excited, so much anticipating going to the Lord's Dham. So much so that he had a heart attack on the train. And the devotees were all gathered around him, chanting the holy names sincerely. And as he was hearing the holy names, anticipating his arrival in Mayapur, he gave up his life. I was thinking that the devotees on the train, they still had another 15 hours before they arrived in Calcutta, and then a 4-hour drive to Mayapur. But it appears that this particular person, he had an express train to Mayapur. That was his consciousness. I'm going to Mayapur. I want to go to Mayapur. I must see Mayapur. Devotees chanting the holy names, he left his body. It's glorious. We have to die today or tomorrow. if we could leave this world with an eagerness to see the holy dawn, with the blessings of Vaishnavas all around us, and the name of Krishna resounding in our ears and our heart, that's perfect. Antakale chamami vasmanam matlakale param. So why should we fear death? To forget Krishna is death. To remember Krishna is life. And to remember Krishna in danger is very auspicious. Vipada santuta shashva tatra tatra jagat guru. Kunti Devi prayed for dangers, because in that danger she had no other refuge but Krishna. She would remember Krishna with such intensity, single-mindedness. So she was not afraid of calamities. She was simply afraid of Maya. One time in Boston, Srila Prabhupada was worshipping his deities of Radha and Krishna. And he turned to one of his servants with gravity in his voice and said, "I am praying to Radha Krishna to please save me from Maya." This is the prayer of all the great acharyas. They're teaching us that we must be afraid of Maya. And in that fear, we must take shelter of that one and only personality who can give us shelter, and that is Krishna. So here we find these great personalities. How fierce they were. Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, living in the Bowery. Nowadays, the Bowery is kind of a nice place to live. But in those days, it was the most degraded, infamous part of the whole country of America. Thieves, killers, drunkards, prostitutes. Prabhupada was living there. He had his return ticket on the Jaladuta to go back any time. But he was completely fearless. Why? Because he had taken shelter of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. And the source of that fearlessness, Krishna, is running away from the lions and tigers in fear. Just to charm our hearts. Because of boys, when they would wrestle with Krishna, sometimes they would defeat him. How is it possible for anyone to defeat Krishna? But this is reciprocation of love. Just like if a father is having a wrestling match with a five-year-old child, he could easily beat him up, throw him to the ground and say, "I won." But does he experience any pleasure in doing that? Does the child? But a loving father will allow his son to defeat him. "I give up, I give up, I give up. Please stop. I surrender." He feels great pleasure in doing that. And the child feels great pleasure that I have defeated my father. The Lord is conquered by the love of his devotee. And in this defeat, we find the ultimate realization of all of the scriptures, that Krishna is defeated by the love of his devotees. And Vrindavan is the place, the supreme abode of the Lord, where Krishna is completely conquered by the affection of his servants. When Yashoda Mai and the elder gopis would think of Krishna in the forest, how much their maternal affection would be awakened. that Krishna may be scratched by monkeys. He may be attacked by lions and tigers. With his soft lotus feet, he may step on a pebble or a thorn. How much this would awaken their love, their remembrance, in such intimacy. Therefore, just to awaken their sentiments in the land of Vrindavan, Krishna appears to be ordinary child. We come to Vrindavan to purify our hearts so that we can not only theoretically understand this principle, but we can actually enter into these realizations. I remember when I was younger, about 30 years ago, I traveled to many religious places in the world, searching for God, a path to follow in my life. In Europe, we studied under very saintly people who were Christians and Jews. In the Middle East, we studied Quran and various teachers of Islam. Came to India, to the Himalayas, studied under yogis, sadhus, Shivites, lamas. Went to Varanasi, Gaya, studied Buddhism. Then by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, I came to Vrindavan. And I got sick, so I couldn't leave. And just by being in Vrindavan, and seeing the type of devotion that the devotees had, I understood in my own heart that of all religions, of all philosophies, of all spiritual paths, that which is followed by the residents of Vrindavan is all-inclusive and it is the ultimate. All other religious principles are infinitesimal parts and parcels of the realization of those who have understood the love of Braja. And then when I met Srila Prabhupada, I could see how expertly and perfectly he was presenting the path to Vrindavan. Safe, perfect, clear, authorized way by which we could realize the intimate love between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan Dham. By chanting the holy names sincerely, offenselessly, by taking the verse that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught as our heart and soul, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tadorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena Kyataniya Sadahari, and serving in this spirit, hearing the glories of Krishna in this spirit, chanting the names of Krishna in this spirit, then Vrindavan awakens within our heart of hearts. In a conditioned state, we cannot see Vrindavan with our eyes. I remember when I was living here, I was staying at one mat, and a man from Germany, great scholar who was practicing Krishna consciousness. He was very eager to come to Vrindavan. So he wrote a letter and said, I'll be arriving on this date. He took a plane from Frankfurt to Delhi, took the Agra Express, the Taj Mahal Express, from Delhi to Mathura. Was on one of those horse-drawn tangas from Mathura to Vrindavan. When he entered into the precincts of Vrindavan, he saw all this cow dung laying on the road. And he saw some hogs eating stew. And then he saw some people picking up the cow dung patties and putting them on baskets in their heads. And he was thinking, this is not a hygienic place. This is a horrible place. So he told the town to turn around. He went back to Mathura, caught the next train to Delhi, caught the next train back to Germany. He was seeing Vrindavan with his eyes. But we must see through faith. We hear from the scriptures. We hear from the self-realized souls who actually see Vrindavan as it is. And through their words, we develop faith. And we must see through that faith. Srila Prabhupada told us, we should not see with our eyes, we should see through our ears. What we hear reveals the true reality. And with that faith, we must practice the principles of bhakti. We purify our hearts. Primanjana bhakti vilochanena. And then when our eyes are decorated with the salve of love, then we can actually see Vrindavan as it is. The eternal, supreme, spiritual world where everything and everyone is simply surrendering their very existence for the satisfaction of Sri Radha and Krishna. And to enter into that spirit of surrender and love is why we come to Vrindavan. To gain the inspiration, the faith, by which we can dedicate our lives to the path of bhakti as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mahamudi Maharaj, would you like to speak something? Lokanath Maharaj, would you like to speak something? Dhananjaya Prabhu? Prajabasi? Yes. Asking after the Chandra Kazi was converted to become a pure Vaishnava, how is it that the devotees could relate to him after he was so cruel, so harsh with them? Could I tell a little of the story before coming to that question? Maharaj, your permission? Chandra Kazi was such a demon. In Krishna's Leela, he was Kamsa. He outlawed the chanting of the holy names. One morning, Lord Chaitanya was greeted by the residents of Navadvip. They brought him nice gifts, flowers, cloths, fruits. And to reciprocate with their affection, he gave them all a very beautiful instruction. He said, all of you, chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear the glories of Krishna. You will achieve Krishna. I will now give you this Maha Mantra. 16 words, 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
You chant this Maha Mantra, there's no hard and fast rules. You can chant anywhere, everywhere, at all times. Come together with your families, in your homes, clap your hands and chant. If you have instruments, take mridangas and karatals and sing and chant. With your friends, always chant this Maha Mantra. And I'll give you another song you can sing.
Hare Haraya Nama Krishna Yaravaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhav Sudan.
Chant always, everywhere.
And you will achieve Krishna.
So from that day on, the word spread. And everywhere in Navadvip, people were clapping their hands and chanting the holy names. It was resounding. Chankazi outlawed a republic display of the Hindu faith. When he heard about this, he became furious. He had 1,000 soldiers roaming the streets of Navadvip day and night, just looking. He had 1,000 soldiers roaming the streets of Navadvip day and night, just looking for anyone who was chanting to punish them severely. And he personally came. Personally. And he went to the house of Srivas and he screamed out, "For so many years, you Hindus are not practicing this chanting out loud. Why all of a sudden now you are doing this? I outlaw this chanting." He picked up the mridanga and broke it to the ground. "It is night now, so I will leave. You have not done so long yet, but if I ever hear this chanting again, I will be back to severely punish you." Devotees were very fearful. They approached Lord Chaitanya, explained. He said, "You just go on with this chanting, have no fear." So they went on, but they were fearful. They approached him again, "My Lord, people are getting beaten, they're getting plundered, they're being imprisoned." When he heard about the mridanga broken, "Nityananda, hear from me. At this very moment, you go to the houses of all the Vaishnavas and you proclaim this message. That today, I will personally enter into the streets of Navadvip and dance. I will read the loud chanting of the holy names. I will go right to the door of Chankazi and I will loudly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I will beat down his door. I will tear down his house. I will set it on fire. Let me see what the Kazi will do to me. On this day, I will cause a rainstorm of love of God and ecstatic Krishna consciousness to inundate all of Navadvip. On this day, time personified will stand before the Kazi. Have no fear. All living entities in all creation are my eternal servants. I am the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all existence. When I am with you, there is nothing to fear. Have everyone come to my home this afternoon. Everyone should bring a torch." When this news spread, devotees, the people in general, were ecstatic. Previous to this, Mahaprabhu had never performed kirtan publicly. He was only in the house of Srivas and Chandrasekhar in private. They were so excited. "Lord Gauranga, we are going to see him dance tonight. The perfection of all of our prayers."
Everyone was making torches. Fathers were making torches. Sons and daughters were making torches. Some families made 1,000 torches, soaking them in oil. They all assembled at Lord Chaitanya's house. He came out and arranged the kirtan party. Advaitacharya, you dance in the first group of kirtan leaders. Haridas Thakur, you dance in the second group. Srivas, you dance in the third group. And myself, Nityananda, and Gadadhar will be behind. This was the first time in his manifested lila that the Lord danced in public. Such ecstasies everywhere. Knowing the Lord would be coming, people were decorating the front of their houses with mangoes, banana trees, all sorts of nice designs, flowers. When they saw the Lord dancing in ecstasy, people were running out of their houses to join the kirtan. Fathers forgot their children. Husbands forgot their wives. Mothers forgot their children. What to speak of their husbands? Everyone forgot that they were their bodies. The only thing in their mind was simply to dance and chant with Lord Gauranga. Seeing everyone leaving the houses, the thieves considered this is the most opportune moment. They started running to plunder the people's houses, but they happened to hear the kirtan. They saw the Lord dancing. They forgot that they were thieves. The thieves joined the kirtan, dancing and chanting with their arms raised. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting such symptoms of ecstasy. Sometimes he manifested his form of Krishna playing his flute, tears flowing from his eyes. His beautiful long arms extending below his knees were raised ahead above his head. His limbs were trembling. There were jasmine flowers decorating his black hair, which was curling around his moon-like face. His teeth, smiling in ecstasy, were like rows of precious pearls. His eyes were like lotus petals that extended practically to his knees. His eyebrows in ecstatic love were dancing up and down. There was a long garland that extended below his knees that were waving to and fro. Everyone's consciousness was simply absorbed in seeing the beautiful form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They danced from one bathing ghat to the next, to all the marketplaces, everywhere. The people, they were so ecstatic. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Vaikuntha descended. So much so that all the millions and millions of people in this kirtan, they all had four arms. But they were so absorbed in seeing Lord Chaitanya that no one even noticed that anybody else, what to speak of themselves, touching each other's feet, jumping on each other's shoulders. Some were tying their hair and their sikas to other people's feet. And some of them are screaming out, "Death to the Qazi! Death to the Qazi!" As the kirtan continued, they went to the village of Sinilia, which is just outside where the Qazi lived. They heard this tumultuous kirtan. Chan Qazi asked his soldiers, "What is that? Tell me what is that. Go and see." They went out to see. They saw millions of people. They came back to the Qazi and told him, "Oh, what we have seen is very fearful. There's millions of people, all being led by Nimai Pandit. They're chanting the Hindu names of God. And thousands of them are crying out, 'Death to the Qazi!'" Qazi, very arrogant, demanding a person. He said, "I think that this Nimai Pandit is on some sort of a wedding procession. This is the way the Hindus celebrate their marriages." Said, "Go there and stop him. My wrath will be upon them. Just see what they will do when they meet with me."
At that point, the kirtan entered into the village of Kankachankasi. It was so tumultuous, it was roaring so loud, that all the servants of Chankasi went running for their lives. And Chankasi went to some private room to hide. Meanwhile, his soldiers and assistants, they ran outside. But there was not an inch anywhere that was not occupied by the performers of Harinam Kirtan.
Death to the Kazi!
They took off their turbans, they hid their beards, and they began to dance, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then the Lord came to Chankasi's house, knocked on the door. No one answered. One of the servants came, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Why is Chankasi hiding from me? I'm a guest. I'm a guest of his house. Why is he not greeting me?" Well, Kasi came down. He said, "Dear Nimai, I am coming from the same village as your grandfather, Nirmala Chakrabarti Thakur, Valpukariya. Because we're from the same village, we are relatives. In fact, we are brothers. Therefore, I am your uncle, you are my nephew. And sometimes uncles become angry at nephews, but they never take it very seriously. And sometimes the nephew becomes angry with the uncle, but because of their intimate relationship, he easily forgives his uncle." Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear uncle, Uncle Kazi, I have a question. Will you answer my question?" "Yes, what is your question?" "The cow is giving you milk, therefore the cow is like your mother. Why do you kill your mother and drink her blood?" Kazi responded that actually, in the Holy Quran, there are two paths. The path of salvation, which is the path of renunciation, and the path of trying to improve one's material life. In the path of renunciation, killing of animals is forbidden. But in the path of material progress, it is sanctioned. Just as in your Vedas, there's also cow sacrifices." Lord Chaitanya said, "In the Vedas, you can sacrifice and you never kill a cow. Never. You can take an animal and kill it and sacrifice. But the Brahmins could chant such perfect mantras that that animal comes back to life with youth. You take an old animal, sacrifice, and that same animal, the same soul, comes alive with a young, healthy body. If you cannot bring the body back to life, you have no right to kill it. And you Mohammedans, you will have to suffer in hell because you have no power to bring these animals back to life." Then the Lord said, "Your scripture is full of illusions and mistakes, and the writers of these scriptures were not perfect beings." Hare Krishna. Chankasi heard the arguments of the Lord, and with folded palms he said, "Everything you say is perfect. Our scripture is full of illusions and mistakes, but because I'm from this society, I have to follow it. But actually, whatever they're saying is correct." Then Lord Chaitanya asked another question. "You were so vehemently against the Sankirtan movement. Why today, we're all out in the streets chanting, why you didn't try to stop us today?" Chankasi replied, "It is a very confidential story I'd like to tell you. Let us go alone somewhere." The Lord said, "No, no, these are my friends. Whatever I hear, they should hear. Speak." Chankasi told him that I sent
my soldiers out to stop the kirtan. And they all came back with the same story. That as soon as they tried to stop the devotees, their beards set on fire. And their whole faces were burnt. And some of the Hindu smarta Brahmin priests, they were coming to me and saying that this Nirmal Pandit, he's destroying the Hindu tradition. These are secret mantras that are only allowed to be chanted silently in the heart. And he's ruining them all by chanting them loudly. He's making everyone crazy. You are Qazi, you must stop him. So I told him, you just wait, be patient. That night, I was sleeping in my bed when the ferocious being with the body of a man and the head of a lion appeared before me. He jumped on my chest with long, sharp nails. He began to rip open my chest. He was roaring, "You have offended my devotees. You have broke the Madanga. Today you must die." Then he said, "Qazi, you have not made too much of an offense as of yet. But if ever again you try to touch my devotees and stop me, Hanuman Sankirtan leader, I will be back to destroy you and your entire race of Mamachas and Yavanas." Then the Qazi opened up his coat and showed the blood-stained marks on his chest. He told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I surrender my life to you, and I declare today that myself and all of my descendants will never, ever, ever interfere with your Harinam Sankirtan movement. You can go anywhere and everywhere and chant the holy names of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya went into the streets again after giving his blessings to Chan Qazi and chanting and dancing. Chan Qazi came out to dance and chant with him. But the Lord told him to go back inside. So your question is, after all these atrocities that he committed, how did the devotees relate to him? With great love and affection. Because the devotees of the Lord, they share the heart of the Lord's compassion. Just like Jagaya Madhai, after Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deliver them, they begged forgiveness. They vowed never to sin again. They became humble, constantly chanting the holy names. They became most dear to the Lord. They would dance and chat with them intimately. Because actually, the living entity is by nature pure. It is an artificial imposition of the illusory energy that causes us to behave materially. It is said, hate the disease, but do not hate the diseased. If your mother has a terrible disease, you don't hate her for it. You hate the disease that's causing her so much suffering and pain. So this is the vision of the Vaishnava. They are the well-wisher of every living entity. And actually, the Chan Qazi's deliverance simply glorified Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy as Patita Pavana Avatar. Therefore, the devotees loved him dearly. As the Lord forgave him, the devotees forgave him. As the Lord only saw his devotion, the devotees only saw his devotion. So much so that when he died, the devotees created a samadhi for him. And to this very day,
almost 500 years later, the devotees go there to worship him. How much he magnified the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in doing so, how much he gives us hope. So although he was magistrate and he had to, Qazi, he had to maintain his official position, he was simply the friend and well-wisher of all devotees. And the devotees loved him and respected him for that. Those who cannot forgive are not true Vaishnavas. Srimad Bhagavatam explains the ninth canto that the first quality of a Brahmin is forgiveness. Devotees, they simply want to forgive. Even if a person doesn't rectify himself, still devotees are eager to forgive. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. Does that answer your question? Honestly, or materialistic people are not really fearless. Perhaps in a material sense they appear fearless. Like a soldier on a battlefield, in the passion of fighting, in his patriotic spirit, he's willing to give his life for his nation. Or even criminals. They know they may be put in jail, they may be killed, but still they engage in their crimes. Because this apparent fearlessness is still based on the bodily conception of life. Still based on the false ego. It is not real. It is not true. However, a devotee taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead realizes that he's beyond death. A devotee is just so absorbed in pleasing Krishna that he has no fear of anything except displeasing Krishna. So that is true, spiritual, pure fearlessness based on truth. The other type of fearlessness is based on illusion. It's based on ignorance. But still, for our own purification, we should think that these materialistic people are so fearless for their mundane egoistic pursuits. How fearless I should be in the service of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And if we're actually taking shelter of Krishna, we're taking shelter of his instructions. Your example, a person is thinks he's fearless to break regulative principles and engage in abominable activities. That's not fearlessness. That's hypocrisy. That's ignorance. We should be afraid of Maya. Unless we're afraid of Maya, we cannot actually enter into the true state of fearlessness. In fear of Maya, we have to completely take shelter of Krishna's mercy, knowing that we're helpless without his mercy. Draupadi tried to protect herself when she was being disrobed by Dushasana, but when she realized she was hopeless and helpless, she fearlessly raised her arms and cried out Krishna's name. Krishna saved her. Anandas chintayantanam yojana paripashate tesham nityavayatanam yogakshanam bahamyam. Krishna's promise, I will preserve what you have, and I will carry what you lack. You just surrender to me. Abhaya charana rajandare, then we become fearless. This is our goal. And the means by which we achieve the goal is very simple. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the crooked. Just take prasad. Follow these four regulative principles. Just be humble and serve the devotees. And attentively chant the holy names. And if our desire is sincere, very quickly, Harinam, Guru and Vaishnava's Kripa will purify our heart. And we will enter into the abode of fearlessness. The residents of Vrindavan were completely fearless. Not because of their own strength, because they had faith in Krishna. Agasura was 8 miles long, a serpent. Probably most of us, if a little serpent, 1.5 feet long, came slithering by us, we would be in total fear, ready to have heart attacks, running away. Ah! Yes? I remember a few years ago we were in Ekachakra with a few hundred devotees, sitting under that tree that Nityananda Prabhu had at Leela. And it was night. And there were about 500 devotees sitting together, and this black serpent came. I think it was a cobra. Came slithering into the audience. And everyone jumped up. Ah! Stop, stop! Serpent! Hare Krishna. When I saw them all jumping up and running, I was thinking, this is one, this big serpent. Agasura was 8 miles. When he opened his mouth, his lower mouth was on the ground and his upper mouth was in the clouds. His tongue looked like a superhighway. It was huge. And the gopas, they looked in, he was thinking, they will think, I'm a big cave, and they'll come to play in my cave mouth. And the gopas looked, oh, just see, it's a big, gigantic serpent, he's come to swallow us. Let's go in, Krishna will save us. And they were smiling and singing, and they danced right into the mouth of Agasura. Not only into his mouth, they went way, way into his whole belly. Just dancing and singing and chanting, smiling, looking back at Krishna. You know you'll save us. Gopal, he was looking at them, thinking, they've entered into the mouth of a serpent. For a moment he pretended to be a little bewildered. Then he decided, I will go and save them. So when he danced into the mouth of Agasura, Agasura closed his mouth. He had a big mouth. There was no air, no light, nothing. Everyone fell unconscious. So Krishna expanded himself.
So much so
that no air can be circulated in the body of Agasura. He suffocated. His life air burst out of the top of his head. His mouth came open. And Krishna danced out. And all the gopas, actually first Krishna sent the gopas out. Then Krishna came out, and his spirit soul merged into the body of Krishna.
Fearless.
That is Vrindavan,
fearlessness.
At Bhavanala Kund, nearby,
there was a raging forest fire.
They went to sleep. It was a nice, starlit, moonlit night. Let us just sleep in the forest tonight. So nice. But then I woke up, and there was a fire on four sides around them. The flames were reaching the sky. Walls of flames. What are they to do? They didn't call the Vrindavasi fire department. They didn't try to smother it with water. They didn't even try to run for their lives. Every single man, woman, and cow just turned to Krishna. Unblinkingly, with folded palms, we are yours. Krishna's just breathed in, and the whole fire was sucked up by Krishna. And Krishna the Lion King. So Vrindavan is the land of fearlessness simply because everyone knows that there's only one shelter, Krishna.
Indra sent torrential rains,
the Samvartaka clouds are utilized by Indra to devastate the entire cosmic manifestation of this world.
Massive clouds, thunder, total devastation.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhago. The gopis, they all approach Krishna. You are our only shelter. Krishna lifted Govardhan. Guru Varadhari.
So by hearing these things,
by chanting the names of the Lord and engaging in devotional service, we become fearless. Our fearlessness is not based on our own intelligence, our own strength, our own expertise, but real fearlessness is based on the principle of total humility, that I am nothing. Only Krishna can save me, and Krishna will save me. It is his promise. Kaunteya pratijani himamai bhakta pranashati. How he saves me? When he saves me? That is according to his sweet will. But certainly Krishna will save me. This is the basis of renunciation. A devotee can forsake all the luxuries and securities of this world, knowing that Krishna will protect me. Prabhupada explained that this is the meaning of sannyas, to be fearless. Krishna will protect if we just take shelter of his lotus feet. And how to take shelter? By sincerely, offenselessly, crying out his holy names. Krishna is in his name. He's descended in this age of Kali through his man to give us fearlessness, to give us eternal shelter. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.